If you guys were here last week, we talked about simply just like walking in the Spirit. And so if you look at the title of my message, it's Who's Leading Who? And just to kind of recap what we shared last week is simply that, a lot of times we find ourselves in this battle between the mindsets of our flesh and then the mindsets of our spirit. Because you know that when you're born again, and hopefully that's everyone in here. Hopefully everyone in here is born again. Because when you get born again, what happens is the new nature comes inside of you. And it's really not a new nature. It may be new to you, but it's a nature that you were first created and formed in. And then because of the fall of man and the separation from God, we received that nature of man, which ultimately what was sin, right? And then Jesus came on the scene, did what he did through the finished work of the cross. And now because of that, we have a new man living in us, the Spirit of God in us, who leads us and guides us into all truth, right? And so that's what I'm talking about is who leading who, because a lot of the times we find ourselves in situations where we may make a rash decision that's not being led by the Spirit. Right? So we make quick decisions and we want things that look nice. You know, because last week I shared just because something's good doesn't mean it's God. So if we jump on every bandwagon that looks good, then we'll find ourselves in places that we don't want to be. Right? So that's why scripturally in 1 Corinthians it says that those who are led by the Spirit evaluate all things carefully. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to evaluate everything that I do carefully. I'm going to evaluate the choices that are going to affect myself and my family very carefully. I will evaluate the choices that we make for this ministry very carefully because we're led by the Spirit. And we won't make decisions that aren't led by God himself. Does that make sense? Because we're led by the Spirit. You know, but then there's also instances in our lives where it's really easy for the mindset of the flesh to come and to just fall upon you. Right? What happens when you receive a bad report? See, is our first thought to give God the glory? Is our first thought to go before the Father? Or is our first thought to text everybody that we know and say, please pray? Because if you ask me, in instances like that, when we say, oh my gosh, I just got a bad report, guys, we need to pray right now. To me, that's not faith. To me, that's fear. To me, faith says, God, I come before you with thanksgiving. Right? Philippians 4, and we're going to get into that. See, but for me, that's faith because you go before God. And then like, hey, great. Hey, guys, I just want to ask you to be in agreement with me. See, but we pray in faith. We don't respond in fear, right? That's part of the mindset of the flesh because you're not thinking of things above. See, I'm getting into my message like at the end without even actually getting into it. We can go home now, guys, right? I'm just kidding. That's what we're going to jump into today. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, for who you are. God, we thank you for the finished work of the cross, Lord God, and that because of that, we have a new man on the inside of us. And that new man leads us and guides us into all truth, the Holy Spirit, the seal, the promise, the comforter, the one who searches all things, even the deep things of you, God. And I thank you that same one teaches us and enables us to live by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit each and every day. And so we just love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So we're going to jump right into this. And this is where I would have started last week, but I ran out of time. I got a lot this week, so I'm going to do my best to get through it. So here we go, Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. And it says here, it says, now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointed one living his life in us. So the anointed one, that's Jesus, right? He lives his life in us. He lives his life through us. Right, all those that are born again, Jesus is in you. He lives his life through you. So every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through that, simply. Right? And it says, and we are free. So we are free to live. We are free to live, not according to our flesh, but we are free to live by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. So let me just say this real quick about that statement, is that that statement right there crushes the statement, well, we're only human. Right? Because what do? We use an excuse we're only human to stay the way that we are and to not change and not be transformed into his image and to walk by the Spirit. But this says that we are free to live not according to the flesh. Because of the righteous requirements of what Jesus did, we are now free to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, which ultimately enables you to live by the Spirit. And no longer have any obligation to obey what's considered the flesh or the law of sin and death. Right? You can read that in Romans 5, 6, and 7. Verse 5, but those who are motivated. So this is how we know that we are walking in the flesh. Because, listen, we can go back and forth, flesh and spirit, right? This is how you know, because those who are motivated by the flesh only pursues what benefits themselves. So think about that. Do you only do things that benefit you? Listen, I'm a big fan of green lights when I'm on my way to work, but it's okay if I don't get green lights every single time, because at least somebody else's light is green. Does that make sense? Now, I'm like, hey, you know what, God, I thank you for green lights. That's great, but if I don't get green lights, no big deal, right? It's a great thing. So it's the same concept. We prefer others, right? You're not only thinking about what benefits you, okay? But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. That simply means are motivated to pursue the things of God, to pursue the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and finds peace. Right? So it's all a mindset. This game that we're in called life, it's a mindset. Right? So you can either tell yourself life is a grind or life is a gift. It's a mindset. I don't get up and grind. I get up because it's a gift. And that gift that I have, I live to serve Jesus Christ. Right? Life is a gift. It's a mindset. So the mindset focused on the flesh, it fights God's plan. It's against the plan of God in your life. And it refuses to submit to his direction because it simply can't. So when you operate in the flesh, when you operate in the mindset of the flesh, I promise I'll explain to that if you don't understand what that means. But the mindset of the flesh, when you operate in those things, it fights God's plans and it refuses to submit. It can't. Why can't it? It's because you're not walking in who you truly are and walking after the Spirit. So it's not that you intentionally try to fight God's plan, but when you walk in the flesh, it just does it because that's what it does. Right? So let's walk in the Spirit. Verse 8, for no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure. This is so funny. God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. So let me ask you, what is it that pleases God? Okay, think of the scripture. What pleases God? It starts with an F. A. Thank you. Yes, faith, not, you know. What pleases God is faith, right? Faith pleases God, the scriptural, right? Hebrews. It takes faith to please God. Well, can you go back real quick, Rick? Thank you, sir. So God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. Why? Because when you operate in the flesh, you step out of grace and faith, and you step back under the law of bondage and sin and death. And that doesn't please God because you're not truly operating in your true nature now. Does that make sense? So, I mean, it's not like you're a disappointment and God is just going to hammer you for something. But what I'm saying is, you can't please God because you're not walking in faith. You're not walking in the finished work of the cross. You're not walking in how he truly designed you to walk in your real identity. Does that make sense? So I want to please God by walking in faith. I want to please God by walking after the Spirit of God that is in me. That's how I'm pleasing to God, right? But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. So everyone who is in here is born again, Right? If you're born again, just raise your hand. Like, if you know without a shadow of doubt, you're born again, raise your hand, right? So this is talking about you. The Spirit of Christ empowers your life so you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, then you are not of Him. Right? So our spirits are joined to the Anointed One. We're born again. Our spirits are joined to the Anointed One. We're of Him. You see, but when we step out of that grace and we start operating under the mindset of the flesh, what happens is we step out and then we become not of Him, not meaning that you're not of Jesus, but simply meaning that you're acting out of your character. Right? Doesn't mean that you're not of Him. Like, you don't know God. It just means you're not acting in your true character. Look here in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, it says that as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. Right? So as we have to yield, give ourselves freely to the power of the Spirit, and after that we abandon the cravings of your self-life. Next verse. Verse 17, for your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder Him from living free within you. Like that teaches for itself, that speaks for itself. When we live for ourselves, remember, being a Christian, you're not a Christian for you. You're not a Christian for your benefit. You're not a Christian for your sake. You're not a Christian so that God can rain blessings in your life, right? You're not a Christian so that you can just be successful and do great things and have everything you need provided, right? Those are benefits of being a Christian, but that's not the reason why. We're not even a Christian so that we can go to heaven one day, right? The whole purpose is heaven in us, on earth, coming through us, right? I hear so many people talk about how they want to build the kingdom of God, and we're going to do this, and we're going to build the kingdom. But I'm like, you're trying way too hard, because you're trying to build a kingdom that's already been built. We're supposed to just minister the kingdom that's been built, right? So it's through your life after the Spirit that people see God's goodness and they say, I want what they have, right? But it's really easy to get religious and then get in the flesh and then to start just telling people, well, this is what Scripture says, and Scripture says that, and Scripture says this, and this is what, right? Because then you're just walking in the flesh. You're not walking after the Spirit, which is in love. You're not allowing your life to shine and for people to see God in you and then want what you have. That should be the point. We're ministers of the kingdom of heaven. So your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder Him from living free within you. So again, your self-life hinders God from living free in you, right? And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life, so it goes hand in hand here, from dominating you. Again, we don't have to live according to the flesh. We don't have to have vain thoughts and imaginations. We don't have to do things, and when we do things, oh, it's just because we're human and we're always just going to be that way. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The Spirit of God living in you hinders the cravings for your old life that is dominating you. You just have to believe it, and you have to live in it and walk in it and trust in that, right? So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. But when you are brought into full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. Right, that's good. So this is simple here. The cravings of the self-life are pretty obvious. I've read this to you before. Pastor Jacob has read this to you before. Very recently, right? The cravings of your self-life, the cravings of the mindset of your flesh are very obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God. Right? Idolatry, manipulating others, right? That's witchcraft, that's sorcery, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment of others when others are favored, temper tantrums. See, I want to stop there on temper tantrums. Y'all, I don't know how many adults I've seen that throw temper tantrums. I don't know how many Bible-believing, born-again, blood-bought Christians who just went to church, they go to the restaurant to get their food, and God forbid something is not right with it. Because then all of a sudden, we throw a temper tantrum. Come on. I've seen it. I've seen it. We pray over our meal. Oh, man, but then we find it's cold. My fries aren't as hot as I want them to be. Take it back. Right? Get over yourself. You just said, God, I'm so thankful for my food. But then all of a sudden you start eating it and now you're no longer thankful. Right, but there's other temper tantrums that we throw, right? Like Lucy, right? She's about to be 7 months old. Like, I fully expect her to have temper tantrums. She's a child. I fully expect her to not want to do something that I want her to do. You know what? She is hardwired to do the wrong thing without even trying. It's true. So you know what that leads me to believe is that someday she's going to need to be born again. But here's the thing. Here's the catch. How can she be born again if I'm not modeled Christ? If I'm not modeling Jesus to my child, and if I'm not showing her the way that she's supposed to live? Because right now in my life, with her in my life, I'm the safeguard. I'm the one that says, don't do that. So what happens if I never do that? Then she's never going to know. She's never going to know that she needs to be born again. You know, my hope for Lucy is that she sees God in Molly and I enough to say, Mom and Dad, you're different. Why are you different than me? See, that's how it should be. So I fully expect her to have temper tantrums, but I know how to deal with temper tantrums. And you probably think I'm crazy, but she throws temper tantrums. When we're trying to put her in a diaper right before bedtime, she throws a temper tantrum. When she tries to reach for something that she's not supposed to reach for, she throws a temper tantrum. You're going to think I'm crazy for this, but I've tested this. Check this out. She was reaching for something. I said, no. She looked at me. She kept reaching. I was like, no. She kept. So here's what I did. Listen, I didn't do anything hard. I just got her little thigh and I just went, no. She was like, she pulled her hand back and she looked at me. And then she started reaching for it again. I said, no. And she pulled that hand back quick. She reached for it again. I said, no. And she, so you can't tell me that they don't know. You can't tell me that she doesn't understand. Now, the next day, she probably forgot. But can I get a witness? Sometimes we need reminding. You see, and it's not abuse. It's not hateful. And oh, my God, she's a child. She's going to need born again someday. And it's pretty obvious that even at this age, in her innocence, she still doesn't know how to do right. And it's my job to make sure that she does right. Right? Until she's at the age where she can choose for herself. Good? Are we good? That's fair. That's true. Just like her, we all need born again. We all need to be born again. Because if we throw temper tantrums, we have angry quarrels, we only think of ourselves, we are only in love with our own opinions. I know so many people who are like that. Being envious. I'm not going to name names because that's not walking in the spirit, right? Being envious of the blessings of others. That's jealousy, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behaviors. He says, this is what's so funny is the Apostle Paul says, haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom, right? Because you're free. You're free to do and to choose and to do whatever you please. You're free to live after the flesh. You're free to live after the spirit. Right? But what we have to realize is that we have a new master. We have to obey that master. His name is Jesus. Okay? So those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God. What does that mean? Again, it simply means this, that whenever you use your freedom to walk after the flesh, you step out of grace. So what happens when you step out of grace? Then you lose peace. You lose your joy. You lose your happiness. You lose your self-control. Right? So it doesn't mean that you won't inherit the kingdom. It doesn't mean that you won't make it through the pearly gates. I don't think there's going to be pearly gates, but that's just my opinion. Right? It doesn't mean that. It just means that you won't get to be a partaker of all that God has for you. Why wouldn't you want that? Why? Verse 22. We're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit now, right? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities. Don't ever again come back under bondage because you choose to walk now after the mindset of the flesh, but stay above these, above that, right? Because these are meant to be limitless. Come on, all these things are meant to be limitless. These things are meant to lead and to guide our lives. So whenever that waitress brings you your food and it's not how you want it, you say, you know what, that's okay. You look like you've had a bad day. How can I make your day better? Don't even ask that question, but just make her day better. Yeah. If your food's bad, leave a big tip. Come on, guys. Let's be Christ-like. Let's walk after the Spirit. Let's be a blessing to somebody instead of throwing a tantrum because we don't get what we want. And then airing our own opinions because we think that we know what's going on, right? Simple things. Simple things. This is so simple. And hear me on this. This is not a behavior. How do you say that? Behavior rule? Lord Jesus. This is not a behavior rule change kind of thing. This is not just something that, like, you wake up and you're like, okay, I need to walk in love today. So how do I do that? What do I need to do? If this person approaches me, then I do. This is something that you become. This is something that you become. And it happens with your intimate relationship with Jesus. Right? It doesn't happen because you come to church. It doesn't happen because you serve in church. It doesn't happen because you're a Christian. It doesn't happen because you pray every now and then. Right? It happens because you have a relationship with Jesus, you're fathered by God, and you become like him. But not just that, but again, it is also a mindset. So it's something that we can consciously think about before we do. Right? What does the book of James say? Let every man be slow to speak, slow to become angry, and quick to listen. That's walking in the Spirit. Why? Because when you're tempted, again, when you're tempted, hear me, please. When you're tempted to become angry with someone, when you're tempted to have hateful thoughts towards someone, when you're tempted to be jealous of someone, right? I'm saying tempted because that's all it is, a temptation. Yeah. The second you pick it up, that becomes action, which becomes sinful. Right, don't let the sun go down on your anger, right? Be angry and do not sin. So can you be angry and not sin? Absolutely. How do you do that? You close your lips. You're quick to listen. You think about things before they come out of your mouth. You go before Jesus and say, you know what, I'm a little upset. You go to the source, to the one that's going to teach and train you by the Spirit of God in you, that's going to give you the wisdom to do exactly what you need to do in those situations. That's living after the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. Right? Verse 24, keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, that's us, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. So we must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after him. So listen, you are dead. Right? The Spirit of God in you is the reason you're alive. right? So the old way of thinking, the old way of doing things, that's dead. That's a cut off withering branch thrown in the fire to be burned. And you have to leave it there. So when you're tempted, remember the mindset of the Spirit. You remind that old self that it's cut off. It's a dead withering branch. And you now have new life through Jesus Christ because why? You're born again. Right? Anybody in here, are you mad at anyone today? Do you have hate in your heart toward anyone today? Do you have unforgiveness toward anyone today? Let me ask you, are you born again? If the answer is yes, then what's the deal? Are you mad at your spouse? Did you come mad at your spouse today? If the answer is yes, and I say, are you born again? And you say, yes, then I'm going to ask you, well, then what's the deal? It only takes one to make peace. And we're called to be peacemakers. That's walking after the Spirit. Right? Walking after the Spirit. Loving those that betray you. Doing good for those that curse you. Come on, Jesus didn't just have this big sermon on the mount for him. He said that for us. He showed us the way to live. Yeah, and Jesus, he wasn't born through man. He was born by God. So yeah, because sometimes it's difficult to use the excuse, well, you know, Jesus, I'm never going to be like Jesus. Jesus, you know. Yeah, I get that. But Jesus showed us the way that we're supposed to live. To a T. And after the death and the resurrection and the promise and seal of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us, the finished work of the cross, we now have no obligation to live the way we used to live. But now we have the ability and freedom to now live as Christ lived and to model and to reflect exactly who he is. It's walking in the Spirit. You have that in you. The ability to model Jesus, right? That's the biggest ministry. That's the biggest way that you can evangelize, right? The biggest way that you can evangelize is not by setting up a tent and passing out flyers. The biggest way for you to evangelize is by your life shining Jesus and looking like Jesus in every situation. And then when people see it, they see God. See, but you first have to see who you are in God. Right? That's what's first. Colossians chapter 3 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. He says it again. Come on, that's got to be important, right? Set your minds, that's this thing right here between your ears. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is now hidden in God. With Christ, in God. Sorry, I missed that. Right, same thing. So set your mind on things above. Again, I've heard this many times, this statement. Well, we don't need to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Listen, I'm going to say this with boldness. That is a lie. Now, I get why people say it, because some people are pretty heavenly minded and you're like, that person's cuckoo. I get it. But here's the thing. We should be so heavenly minded that we're earthly incredible. We should be so heavenly minded that we see someone and we're like, can I pray for you? And then watch God heal that person, right? Because again, there is nothing that can hurt someone when you're walking in love. So how would it hurt anyone if you walk up to them and say, hey, can I pray for you? Is that hurting them? No. Because if they say no, great, go on about your day. If they say yes, great, you can be a blessing to them, right? That's walking it like you can't do no harm in that. I totally lost my train of thought. God, that happens way too. Sometimes I think when that happens, it's like the Holy Spirit goes, because he knows I probably shouldn't say it. I guarantee you that's what it is. But I think there, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious. Look, there that word is again. I know exactly what it's like to be anxious. I know exactly what it's like to have anxiety. Trust me, I do. But Scripture says to be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Right? So that's important, because you can't just... Sometimes people will pray, and I'm a firm believer that God doesn't even hear them praying. Why? Because they're complaining. Right? Because they complain to God about their situation and say, well, God, I wish you would just knock them off their high horse. And, if they would only change, and if they only knew. God, my job is horrible, so if you can just find me a new one. Because I can't work with the people. They just push all my buttons. Seriously, people pray like that. So I'm pretty sure God's like, well, maybe you should get new buttons. Maybe you should be a blessing in your workplace. Maybe God doesn't need to rescue you from where you're at, because you need to be a light, because people need to see God in you, because they need what you have. And so if we're always just bouncing around because God said, or, God blessed me and I got this and I got that, your problems won't change because you go somewhere else. The common denominator is always probably going to be you, because you're led by the mindset of the flesh and your self-life. I could drop this, but it might pop. Right? Where was I? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we got to be thankful in that. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Right? That's highly important. Right? So whenever you get that bad report, you go before God with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, and then that peace will guard your heart and your mind from what? Thinking in the flesh. Right? Because here's what he says. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's walking after the Spirit, because we're putting our mindset on the things of the Spirit. We're putting our mindset on things that are above. We're putting our mindset on things that are going to ultimately lead us into life and peace and not sin and death. Well, then what do? When you start thinking of everything that could go wrong, and then you start texting everybody that can pray for you, and now you're ultimately walking in the flesh and walking in fear instead of thinking of good reports and things that are just and things that are pure and things that are noble. Right? There's a reason that he says all of this after he says, be anxious for nothing. Because the reason that we're full of anxiety is because we can't ever think of the good things. Now, I'm not saying that everything should be like happy-go-lucky and like butterflies and rainbows and I hit the TV. We're going to forget that happened. It didn't hurt. Like, I didn't plan that. things happen. I'm never going to live that down, am I? Like, good thing I didn't break it. Don't tell Pastor Stan. He's going to edit. He's going to be like, what happened? I'm just kidding. So, again, we meditate. We set our mind. What do you do when you meditate? You set your mind. You get your mind on things. So, and sometimes that's the biggest struggle between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit, is the mindset. You have to change your perspective, right? The eye is what? The lamp of your body. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but that sounded really good. I don't know. Listen, there's things that I don't know. You just don't know where it comes from. I take it, that was free, right? Your eye is the lamp of your body. You got to change your perspective. Okay, you have to change the way that you see things. You have to see different if you want to be different. It's your motivational speech for the day. Sorry. We have to meditate on we just got to meditate on good things. Meditate on good things, right? Don't entertain the thoughts that are in your head when you get bad reports. Don't entertain those thoughts whenever the lies of the enemy start just jumping in your mind. Don't entertain those thoughts. Just stop. Just stop where you're at. Stop entertaining the thoughts and start pursuing Jesus. Like, there are things I have to do in my life just out of my mouth, like out loud, whenever certain things start trying to come in. Because that's how I meditate. You meditate on things. Meditate on these things. It says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. You see, so you don't have to have anxiety. You don't have to have all these things in your life, right? That take you away from life and peace. That steal your joy. Right? You don't have to have all those things. You can have peace. You can have the peace in you. We just got to change our mindset. Change our mindset to the Spirit and not after the flesh. I'm going to fly through this. Here we go. Romans chapter 8. Hopefully I'll wrap this up for us here. The mature children of God are those who are motivated by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. So that should be all of us. We should all be motivated by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. That's how we know that we're mature people. Next. Do I have any more in there? Oh, hey, okay. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. So what this simply is saying is that, listen, when you're spirit-led, when you're walking after the Spirit, when you're thinking of the mindset of the Spirit of God that is in you, you will not go to a spirit of religious duty, right? You'll never find yourself in a place where you're trying to measure up to God's standard. Listen, I'm here to tell you today that you measure up to God's standard. You are the only one that takes yourself out of that and moves it down. That's it. You're the only one that does that. Like, you measure up. And the reason that you should know that you measure up is by the Spirit of God in you. Because you've received the spirit of full acceptance. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying these words of tender affection, beloved Father. Other translations say, Abba Father. But it's the Spirit of God in you that testifies to this, saying that, God, you're my Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our inmost being, you are God's beloved child. Listen, I know that for a fact this is one step right here that we need in our lives in order to walk after the Spirit, is that you have to first see yourself a child of God. Because if you don't see yourself as a child, as someone who was loved by God and accepted by God, then ultimately you won't see others that way. Right? If you can't love yourself, you can't love others. Right? It's true. Like, hurt people hurt people. Like, that's true. But just because you've been hurt doesn't mean that you have to hurt others. We just have to walk in love. We have to see that we've been fully accepted because the Spirit in you testifies to that you are God's child. So when you see yourself as God's child, when you know for a fact that you're a child of God, then you can walk after the Spirit because you know that His Spirit is in you. Amen? And since we are His true children, we qualify to share all His treasures. For indeed we are heirs of God Himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that He has. And we will experience being co-glorified, there it is, with Him, provided that we accept His sufferings as our own. I don't remember putting that in there. Is there anything after that? I don't remember doing that at all. There you go. That one was free. So we are co-laborers with Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. I mean, you know all these things, right? Everything that Christ has, we have. Everything that he possesses, we possess. That's being a child of God, and that's walking after the Spirit, right? So let's all stand to our feet, and we will pray. So again, when you go throughout your day, when you the rest of your week, think about such things, right? Think about these things. Meditate on these things. Again, when you're tempted, right? When you're tempted in any way, when you're tempted, think about these things, right? Don't allow, listen, this is important. Don't allow sin against you to produce sin in you, right? So if your coworker makes you angry, don't allow sin against you to produce sin in you. Come on, you've been freed. You've been set free from that dominion over your life. You now have the choice to freely live after the Spirit of God. So let's choose to do what's right. Okay? Let's choose to do what's right. So we'll have a ministry team down here for anyone that needs prayer after we dismiss. And so I always like to encourage people, don't leave here without receiving your miracle. So if you need something, if there's something in your life that you need someone to be in agreement with you, then we'll have our ministry team down front to pray with you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you so much, God, for who you are. God, we thank you so much for Jesus and for sending your son in a human form to take on everything that we are, Father, and to defeat it so that we could be everything that he is and we can walk after everything that he is. God, I thank you that Jesus lives his life in us, which enables us to live our lives through him now so that we can be love and that we can be light and we can shine in every situation, wherever we're at. God, I thank you, Father, that people would see who you are in us, God, and they would say yes to who you are simply by the lives that we live because we walk after your Spirit. So, God, I just thank you so much for that and for your goodness, Father, and man, that we would continue to be transformed into your image every single day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, you guys are blessed. We love you. Don't forget, if you need anything, we have people down front to pray for you. Y'all have a great rest of your week.